privilege to share the word, and it's great to see a nice group of people on a long weekend, and just have such an expectation with what the Lord's been doing and how He's been leading us into this new season, and it's kind of just a big part of what God is doing, so be there. Okay, we've been we've come through the whole Encounter series, been dealing with becoming a family in Christ, and as you know, we're still settling into that. It's never a complete work, as you will notice. It's because we are people and we are human. There will always be little things that we have to sort out and little challenges we have to overcome. Do we need to? Okay, good, no worries. And so just be encouraged with that. It's just going to continue. In other words, us growing in what it means to be a family, and be family for those around us, and whether they be in the church or those that God has put around us in the community. So have patience with yourselves and with us. And then we've been looking at how God is taking us on a mission together as a family. Are we pursuing the purpose of God together? Which is where any relationship gets exciting, is when we pursue purpose together. And we've been looking at that, and we've been looking at how we need to be equipped for the journey that lies ahead. And looked at some very basics in the last few weeks. Last week looked at the Trinity. Adam and I were away for the weekend, as probably some of you as well. But we looked at the Trinity, and tonight we'll look at more specifically at one of the persons of the Trinity. Okay. Right. Now, I also, as a family, we're constantly looking at Scripture to see what did the first church, how did they operate? Looking at the New Testament church, how did they interact? How did they operate as a family, etc., as a body? And obviously, when you read Acts and those, you know, the epistles, is a lot of things in there that we don't see in church. So it's challenging, but I believe that's where God is taking us. And so go and read it again. It's really encouraging as well as inspiring. But let's go back to just before the first church, the first New Testament church. Okay, I want us to put ourselves into the shoes of the disciples. Have you guys got an imagination? Maybe a little bit, some more than others. My younger sister has got a very decent imagination. I remember when we went to an elephant park for the first time. Apparently beforehand, she told me this years after that she was wondering how big this elephant's going to be. She was very small, and she was sitting in her room thinking, how big can this elephant be, you know? And she thought, it must be at least as big as my room. And then she's like, and she says, no, she reckons the foot of the elephant will be as big as the room, you know. So I don't know if she was disappointed when she saw the elephant. I don't think so. But so let's get some imagination going and put ourselves into the shoes of the disciples right there just before Christ ascended. Okay? Now, they've come basically to what was probably the climax of the most scary, but at the same time, amazing 3 years of their lives, I reckon. Since deciding to follow Christ, they've had incredible roller coaster adventure ride. They've seen things that they never thought they would see. They've imagine that for a moment, physically walking with Jesus every day, experiencing him, you know, interacting with others, never mind all the miracles and stuff that we see, what they saw. But imagine that for a moment for yourself, where you are at. Imagine having, you know, being able to walk with Christ, Jesus Christ, the man, physically, the whole time. Imagine, you know, going to work, Jesus next to you, maybe he's driving, I don't know, it depends. Or on the tube, or wherever you go, you know, he's there with you. You know, when you need some help, you know, obviously there's somebody in a wheelchair or something, you can just, you know, any. But imagine for a moment, you know, them having really walked intimately with Christ for those 3 years. When they went fishing, Jesus was right there telling them, listen, guys, how about that side of the boat? And then they get this record catch. You know, they bumper crop, you know, record profit. So imagine for a moment, you know, him being there for every victory, for every difficult situation, every difficult board meeting or struggle or good time or bad time, Jesus being right there. And that's basically what they were had been going through, you know. And if you're like Peter and you're going through a rough patch and you're stepping out in faith and you start to sink, and then Jesus is right there, you know, to pull you out of, get you out of trouble and to, you know, rescue you, or to pray on your behalf when our faith doesn't seem to cut it. And this is what they've been experiencing. They've walked with Christ for 3 years. And if you can imagine, I mean, they saw right there, first hand, they saw him heal the sick, many, many, many. Cast out demons. Some of them were more, you know, vocal than others. Erase the dead. I mean, it must have been crazy. And then there's this massive thing. They must have been absolutely devastated when he was captured and crucified and died. Okay, but then 3 days later, again, absolute victory when they meet with the risen Christ. When they realize that their dream hasn't been this incredible experience that they've had with God hasn't come to an end. It's only beginning. Because Jesus has overcome death. He's risen from the dead. And he's alive. And he's walking with them once more. And I reckon they were now getting excited because now things are getting interesting. Because Jesus is here. He's walking through walls. He's got a glorified body. You know, he's now things are going to get interesting. Okay, now we've already seen incredible things. But now Jesus has risen from the dead. And at that stage, some of them have still had like political aspirations. You know, when Jesus talks kingdom, they think Kingdom of Israel type of thing. So they're asking him, you know, is the kingdom of Israel going to be restored type of thing? So there's this expectation happening. And, you know, are you there? Are you with him? Okay. Let's just read in Acts 1 what happened. From verse 4. And being assembled together with him, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And then we see even a little while before that already, he's kind of discussed this with him, having to go away. And let's just look at one or two of those scriptures about him kind of speaking about the time when he will be going. And then in John chapter 14, we look at verse 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And verse 16, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And then similarly in John chapter 16. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Now, after all this that they have experienced, now you were there with me, no? That place of incredible climax of this amazing 3 years, dead rising, dead coming from the grave, sick being healed, everything going on. Now Jesus rose from the dead as well. Now he says, it is to your advantage that I go away. Do you see that they might have not really understood that? See, but how can that be? What can be better than what we've been experiencing now? What can be better than walking with Christ in the flesh every day and seeing Him, you know, do what He does and interacting and learning and Him teaching and kind of growing with it and learn and getting that impartation? What can be better? But Jesus very pertinently says, it is to your advantage that I go. And then He says, because if I do not go, I will not send the Helper, but if I go, I will send you another Helper. And that's what we're talking about this evening. Because after the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, where before, because Jesus came as a man, He was at one place at one time. After Pentecost, every believer, every man, all of God's people are now able to experience the power of God and His presence and His, you know, everything of God as poured out by the Holy Spirit all over the earth at one time. And that is part of the reason why Jesus said it's to your advantage. Because if I go, I will send you this Helper. Okay. The Holy Spirit is the God's power and His presence, God's blessing, God's anointing in and through us, every believer all over the earth today, right now. And that's what we're looking at tonight. We're looking at the person of the Holy Spirit. We're looking at this Helper that Jesus spoke about. Sometimes we struggle to relate to Him, so we're going to look a bit more at that. And the fact that our relationship with the Holy Spirit is just as important as our relationship with God the Father and God the Son. In fact, at this stage of the game, probably more important. Absolutely critical in this time, this age we find ourselves in as the Bride of Christ. And if there's one relationship that the enemy wants to come and destroy, that's this one. If there's one relationship that he wants to come and compromise and steal from, it's your and I relationship with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so it's incredible, you know, we've seen even in the last few months how there's really been assignments of coming against this very thing, our relationship with the Holy Spirit, how are we experiencing, how are we seeking Him, etc. We're going to look at that in a moment. So let's look at this relationship. And let's start with the person of the Holy Spirit. Like I said, often people struggle to relate. I remember growing up, I grew up in a bit of a more conservative church environment. So there was some mention of the Holy Spirit, not much though. And it's not something I really thought about. So if you look at some of the Old Testament scriptures, there's a cloud, the presence of the Lord filled the temple like a cloud, and then just like, it was, the place was shaking and people...